It's good to be in the Lord's house tonight. I already said that. A lot of good songs. Some songs we ain't sang in a while. And it was good to hear a couple of them. And Charlie, he said he didn't know why the Lord wanted him to ask that song to be sung. But I'm going to try my best with the Lord's help tonight out of the book of Galatians chapter 4. If you've got your Bibles, you can turn with us to the book of Galatians chapter 4 to talk about a bondwoman and a free woman tonight. And I wanted to read while you're finding your place. Part of this course says, "He broke the bonds of prison for me. I'm glory bound, my Jesus, to see. For glory to God, he set me free." How many of you used to be bound up in sin? Say amen. Amen. How many of you have been set free? Say amen. Amen. Never to be bound up in sin no more. And I'm glad he set me free. Amen. Bible said if the Spirit sets you free, you're free indeed. And so I know I've been set free. There's a lot of things had me bound down, but thank God Jesus was able to do something about that. If you're here tonight and you're still in your sins, I'm glad there's a man named Jesus that can do something about it. You just got to come ask him. The book of Galatians tonight, I'm going to let y'all stay seated tonight. I know we've stood on a couple things, and we normally do, but I'm going to take my time tonight. This is a long chapter. I'm not going to try to teach the whole chapter. I'm going to maybe skip around or hit it just in points as God will let me tonight. But I want to read it real slow, try to just take time to just point out a couple things so that we understand what's going on, and hopefully you'll get a better understanding. A lot of times things that happen in the Old Testament, it was a picture of things to come in the New. And that's what we're talking about here in the book of Galatians. Paul is referring back to Abraham's family as we get to verse 22 through 31. He's talking about the promised child, the promised seed. And so I'm going to begin to read in verse 1. So the Bible said this, "Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the father." Now, I just want to stop there just for a minute and just say real quick. If a lot of children was in line to be king, they was born to be the next king. That still happens in some countries today. Princess Diana's boys was in line to take her place, whether it be early or late. And when it says that they was under tutors and governors, all that means is managers. People was managing the affairs. People was teaching them the things they need to know, the laws of the land, just sort of preparing them for what there's going to be. And so, but it says this, it says that he differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord over all. Until he took that position, even though he owned everything because he was under his daddy's reign, it wasn't time for him yet to be over everything. And let me just say real quick, this is what we're trying to get at tonight. Jesus has always been over everything. But he didn't come to the book of Matthew because there was a set time that the Father needed him to enter into the world. And then several times, Brother D.B., Jesus made this statement. He said, "My time is not yet come. My time has not been fulfilled," or whatever it was. He continued to press that. But then he said, "The time has come." And what he is saying, he had always been preparing from the time he was born all the way up to Calvary. But there was a specific time that he needed to be sacrificed for the sins of the world. Not at 12, not at 18, not at 30, but at 33 years old, 32 and a half, whatever you want to believe, he died for the sins of the world. Amen. And so the Bible said this in verse 3. He said, "Even so we," talking about us, "when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of this world." That's what we're talking about. When you came into this world, whether you like it or not, you fell under the sin
where Adam fell in the garden, it made all of us sinners. When you entered this world, you fell into a big pool of sinners with everybody else. And he said, and even so are we. And he said, we was in bondage under the elements of this world. And that's what I want you to understand. Sin is a bondage. If you've never been saved, you might think you're free, but you're not free. I know a lot of people that walks around that's not in chains, it's not behind bars, and they're as much as in bondage today as somebody's in prison. And then I know some men that's in prison that's asked the Lord Jesus Christ to save them, and they're as free as we are sitting here in church tonight, amen? Because really, when we talk about freedom, it's not about when you can come and go, because I'm just going to say this, I know the Lord set me free, Brother Tony, but I don't get to come and go as I want. The Bible said a good man's steps are ordered by the Lord, amen. He don't just let me go where I want to go and when I want to go. He tells me when to go. He tells me when to come back. He don't say, Jeff, you want to preach your favorite sermon this morning? No. He tells me what needs to be preached. And if I don't preach it, he won't bless me, amen. Does that sound like I'm free? I am. It's a different kind of freedom. My kids have the ability to go in the backyard, Brother Mallard, when we have things fenced in, and we have that freedom. They can get out there. They can get on the trampoline. They can do this and that. But just because you have freedom don't mean you don't have rules. Let me get a little bit plainer real quick. How many of you feels like you're free? Say amen. We live in a free country. Say amen. Are you free to run a stop sign or a red light when you leave here now if you want to? No. We got laws that says you just can't do what you want to do. Well, you say, well, I'm not totally free. It depends on how you look at it. Amen. It depends on how you look at it. I'm glad everybody's not totally at access. They can do whatever they want to do. And so he said this. He said, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law. Catch that. He was already present in the making of the world. But he was not a man in the flesh until it was the time was fulfilled that he was to become a man. God in the flesh. You understand what I'm getting at tonight? And he was made of a woman under the law. Why did he have to come under the law? Because he is coming to pay the law of sin debt. You'd have. We all became sinners because of the law, and he had to come under the law to take care of the law. But thank be to God, because of grace, we're not under the law anymore, and I'm glad we ain't. Amen. But it don't mean we don't have a law. It just means God took care of that for us. And so he said he was made under the law to redeem them that were under the law. Who was under the law? We are. We're under the law that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Let me just real quick just let you know, because Christ is in my heart, I've become an heir to God's throne. If you'd have. He said that we would sit with him on his throne. Amen. And everything God has, I have because I'm in his family. I don't know when Ryan or Naomi, if they're ever going to get an inheritance or if there'll be anything left, but what's mine is theirs. What's mine is Amanda's. What's God's is yours. Amen. He gave us the earnest of the Holy Spirit, praise the Lord. And I'm glad that he's given us a little taste of what's in heaven that's God's. It's all of ours too, amen. Ain't you glad that you joined heir? You know what happened when Ryan got old enough, Brother Matt? We went up the bank, and that lady looked at me a little funny, and he still got a card. And a lot of them, as soon as I said, I want to put him on our account, you know what that means, Mr. Clark. He has full access to everything. He can pretty much do anything. Now, you and your wife will have to be here to sign something if you're going to shut the account down or something. But, I mean, he can pull everything out tomorrow. Are you sure, Mr. Clark, that's what you want to do? I said, that's exactly what I want to do. That's what we're up here today to do. You don't want to rethink this? I said, no, I'm up here. here to put him on the account. I made him a joint person on that account. He has all rights and privileges to all my money. Amen. You know why I do that? Because I love him. Amen. And I trust him. And then Naomi come along, and she's, we're wanting to put her on there. She's got a card to it. She can spend. Amen. And women's a little different than men. Ryan will usually call and say, "Daddy, I'm stopping and get gas. Is that all right?" Naomi, she just gets gas, and I see it coming through on the bank. Amen. And so, but you know what's so good about that? How many of you lets God know ahead of time what you're going to do? Amen. But he didn't ask us, praise the Lord. He just put you on the account and said, "Whatever you need, let me know." Praise the Lord. You've got full access to God's account. Amen. Now, I'm going to tell you something. It's never going to be negative. Have you ever come to the altar and asked God to do something for you? And he said, "We run a little low of funds. Grace is down this morning. Can you come back next Sunday to where I can make another deposit and put some more grace in there?" No, there's plenty of grace. There's plenty of forgiveness. There's always been enough salvation. Amen. He's always there to listen. You know, I like that when you're joint heir with somebody. A lot of times you got to sit down and talk business, don't you, Brother Tony? Sometimes people say, "I'm just, Brother Jeff, I don't have time to sit down right now, but if you can get with me next Thursday." God's never done that. When I want to sit down and talk to him about something going on in my life business-wise. Ain't that good? People will say, "Well, I'm just too busy." There's nobody running more things than God is. I mean, he's running the sun, the moon, the ocean, his son, the church, the Holy Spirit. He's saving people, forgiving everybody, listening to everybody's prayers. And a million people's going to come to him tonight, maybe even a trillion. And God's going to say, "My son, my child, my daughter, what is it that you need?" Amen. Never does he turn one of us away. Somebody... Amen. Sometimes I really wonder if we're catching it. If we really understand the access that he's given us. You know what the PIN number is, don't you? You usually got to have a little four number PIN, don't you, Tom, to get into love. He loved us. So we got full access through. He said it was through Christ. And so in verse 8, he said, "How be it then, when you knew not God, you did service unto them which by nature are no gods. But now, after that you have known God, or rather are known of God." And I like that. I never caught that before. But yeah, there's been times it really bothered me, Brother Tony. And I'd be preaching, and I would say something knowing that what I said was the truth, but I wanted to get it accurate. And I said, "Well, what I really meant to say," or I'd say something like, "And God loves us," and I'd say, "Well, let me just get it really where it needs to be. He always loves us," you know what I'm saying? And get it correct. Well, that's what Paul was doing there. Listen what he said. Let's read that one more time. He said, "How be it then when ye knew God?" Talking about us knowing God. And then he said, "Ye did service unto them by nature, there are no gods." He said, "But now," listen, "after that ye knew God," he said, "or rather are known of God." A lot of people knows who Jesus is, and a lot of people knows who God is. The question is, does Jesus know who you are? You know what he said? When we get to judgment, here's what's going to be said. "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I knew you not." He's not going to say, "Did you know me? Did you go to Sunday school? Did you know about Calvary or Bethlehem?" That's not what he's wanting to know. There's a lot of people that knows about Jesus Christ, yet they don't have a relationship with him. He does not know them. They're not saved, and they're not going to heaven. Amen. That's sad. If you're here tonight and Jesus don't know who you are, you better get to introducing yourself to him. Now, you might not understand, this might be going over your head right now, but the Lord's going to prick your heart later and let you know what I'm talking about. God and Jesus knows everybody in the world. There's a difference in knowing somebody and knowing somebody. How many people in here knows who the president is? Raise your hand. Can anybody tell me what his name is? Huh? Has any of you ever went out and eat with him? You don't know what he likes to eat. Does anybody know what he likes to watch on TV? You don't even know if he has a TV. What kind of car does he got? I don't know. I thought you knew him. I do. Don't sound like you know him. Well, where does he live? I don't know. What's his daughter's name? I don't know. What speech did he make the other day? I don't know. I turned it off. Maybe he turned it up. You know, it don't make no difference. What, most of the time, I'll just be honest, the speeches don't tell us anything about the people. They're reading something straight off a card that another man wrote that speech. And it's not just for Obama. It's for Bush and every other president. And if I was a president next year, I'd get on there and I'd say, "Ye people of America." And I'd be reading off a card and the guy'd be writing my speeches too. And you know why they do that? They don't want them to say something that's going to trouble the people. They prepare ahead of time. Now, every once in a while, they throw something in there, and they either are hero or zero. Because if they say the wrong thing, boy, they can go down the tubes as quick as they went up. Is that right? That's any president now. I don't want anybody to think I'm for or against. I'm just trying to tell you, if a president wants to do right by our country, he has to be careful what he says. And I'll go as far as to say this, that a man of God, he needs to preach the truth. But sometimes the truth, if you ain't careful, it can cause some damage if it's not said properly too. I know a lot of people have said the truth that have been good if they'd just been quiet. Being quiet is just as important as speaking the truth sometimes. So anyway, he said, listen, this is what he was getting at. He said, "But or rather known of God, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements?" That's the best way I can pronounce that. Somebody wants to pronounce it better, you can. I've tried today. I know it's beggar, so beggarly elements, whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage. So he says, you know, again, you're turning to these weak and beggarly elements, and you desire to be again in bondage. What is he talking about? We're desiring to get back in, you know, we've already been set free. This sounds crazy, what I'm fixing to say to you, but it'd be like a man, you know, I've never understood it. Somebody go to prison for 12 years, and they serve 365 days a year, and they can't go to the movies. And they can't get a job. They can't wear what they want to wear. And they can't go where they want to go. And they have to eat breakfast when they tell them to. And they have to go to the restroom when they tell them to. And they can't play basketball till they tell them they can. And they can't see their wife or their kids unless they tell them it's visitation day. And so they have no freedoms as far as we're concerned. And all of a sudden one day they've served their sentence. They've done everything they need to do. They set them free. They're not even out a week. And all of a sudden they've done something that's put them back in bondage. I never have understood that, and I don't know that I ever will, why somebody that was set free would want to go back in bondage. How many of you is glad you're saved? Say amen. Then why would you want to go back and live in sin? That's what I'm asking. Paul said in one place, he said, should we continue in sin? God forbid. Sort of say, no, we shouldn't continue in sin. Yes, we're going to sin. Yes, we're going to fall short. But we need to repent, quit sinning, and start living for the Lord. Amen. Live like we're free. Live like we are an heir to God. Did you know if you're heir to somebody important, you can't just live any way you want to? Most time in the news of a prince does something, or a queen, or somebody does something, it's all over the news. All eyes is on them. You know what the Bible said? He made us royal priests and kings. You don't think the world's eyes is on the church, you're missing it. And it matters how we act and what we say and how we live. So he said, you're going to go back into bondage. What bondage was he talking about? Ye observe days and months and times and years. And I'm afraid of you, lest I have bestowed upon you labor in vain. He said, I almost have gotten afraid, sort of like, not afraid like he's scared of them, but when he's saying he's afraid, he sees the way they're living. He knows he's put time and invested time in trying to help them come out of bondage and get into freedom. Now he's seeing the way some of the Galatians, if you'd have it, over in Galatia are living. And he's feel like he's wasted time. And he's not the only one. A lot of times, and it's not just me, I believe every preacher feels this way, where we'll call people, we visit people, sometimes we counsel people, we pray with, and next thing you know, they're still out of church. We'll talk to a couple, they still get divorced. We'll talk to somebody about drugs, they still get on drugs and die on drugs. And you feel like all these things are done in vain, but I want you to know something. God loves you, and everything we do is for a purpose, amen. Nothing that you do for the Lord is in vain. But Paul felt like maybe it was. He wasn't seeing a difference. He said, I feel like I've labored in vain. Sort of might as well say, I feel like I've wasted time on you. Because they got back where they observed days and months and times and years. And I don't want anybody to get offended, but I'm just fixing to just cut it down just like we're cutting a cake. If Sunday means more to you than Monday does, something's wrong. Ain't many amens there. I know Sunday's the day we worship the Lord. But if you're saved, you're free on Monday just like you are on Sunday. And Jesus is your Lord on Monday just like he is on Sunday. And you can worship on Monday just like you can on Sunday. If we're waiting just to come in on Sunday to pray, and you don't pray Monday and Tuesday, and you don't come Wednesday, and you don't pray Thursday or Friday or Saturday, but Sunday you come in and pray this awesome prayer, you're doing exactly what the Pharisees were doing, where he said you praying openly before men, but he wanted us to get in the closet and talk to him, amen, secretly. And he said, I'll reward you openly. That what he said? Yes, Sunday, there's something special about Sunday, but not so much that Sunday makes us worship the Lord better than Monday is what I'm getting at. Don't get so caught up. You know, this is why I love sunrise services. I like watch night services. I like revivals. But if you're going to come to revival all week, and then you say, boy, I'm just so wore out. Whew. I think I'm going to go to church this morning. I just think I'm going to lay out Sunday morning, Sunday night. Revival ain't no more important than Sunday morning, Sunday night. You don't think I'm tired? I've been here every night too. You ready? Well, I'm just so tired from work, I don't think I'm going to go to church tonight. You don't think everybody else is tired? You know, our covenant says we'll do our best to support the meetings that this church has. How many people that's a member of this church do you think are really trying their best to support all the meetings that we have? The Bible don't say we have to have a sunrise service. The reason I don't, a lot of people live far away. It would be a hardship. So unless they really want to. People started coming to me and said, Brother Jeff, I feel like we need to have a sunrise service. If there's enough of us had desire to come, I'd have one. But sunrise service ain't going to make Easter no better than it already is. Jesus is alive whether we get here at 5 o'clock in the morning or get here at 10 o'clock in the morning. He's still alive, baby. That's what I'm getting at. It's not about the service. It's how we worship the Lord in our heart, amen. Y'all with me? I love these services. But a lot of times we hype them up as if they're better than the other ones. And I'm going to tell you something. If we're here to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth, there is no meeting better than another one. There's not. If it's better, it's because we put more into it or we minded the Lord more. But it's not because of the day or the month or the year or whether it's cold or warm or anything else. I'm going to have to skip some of this. Boy, Lord, really, I've been studying this last few days. Just, boy, it's just opened up to me. I got to see some things about this. He said, brethren, he's talking to his brothers. He said, I beseech you, be as I am, for I am as ye are. Ye have not injured me at all. That injured, he's just saying, you ain't hurt me at all. He said, you know how through infirmities of the flesh I preached the gospel unto you at the first, and my temptation, which was in my flesh, you despised not. So he's saying, when I come to you first time, he said, I preached the gospel to you, and I was in the flesh. He said, you knew that I had temptations just like you did. That didn't seem to bother you because I had temptations. You didn't despise me because of it. You didn't reject me because of it. He said, but you received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. Most people will do that. When you first come around, how many of you remembers when you eat banana pudding for the very first time? It didn't matter who made it. It was good. You see what I'm getting at? But then as time goes on, we get used to it. Ain't as good as it was first time. But this boy, I remember the first time I even there, I was 10 years old. The same ingredients, the same woman can make it. She's been making it for 60 years now. She's not 30 anymore. She's 70. She's still making banana pudding. But you're still talking about how good it was when you was 10 years old. Y'all getting what I'm understanding? Same thing in church. They'll come over and say, boy, Welcome Grove is spiritual. I ain't been in church like that since I was 10 years old. 3 years later, when they're with us and they find out we're human, we make mistakes. There's people that don't show up all the time. They're not faithful. Amen. People running around doing whatever they want to. Now all of a sudden, they find another church. They say, well, I just ain't getting what I used to get at Welcome Grove. Well, it's the same preaching. It's the same Bible. It's the same people. The Lord's still alive. They're still saved. Hey, what has changed? Things in their life has changed where they can't enjoy the meeting like they first did when they come. Amen. It ain't us. It ain't us, I promise you. Paul hadn't changed the way he's living, preaching, or nothing. Listen what happens here. He said, when I come to you first time, y'all acted like an angel had showed up. You ever had people treat you like that? This is what I'm getting at, Brother Mallory. You ever had somebody say, boy, I tell you, I ain't going to find many people like Mallory Davis. I've heard people say that about you. You ain't going to find nobody sings any better than Brother D.B. Lewis. I tell you, that man been singing for the Lord for years and years and years. And that's good. They've got that kind of confidence. And they receive us. Until all of a sudden, maybe they don't see eye to eye with us on something. Now we ain't quite as high up on their list as we were when they first got to know us in the songs. And that's everybody. That's because we're human. We're going to make mistakes. But listen to this. Paul said, you know, you received him as an angel. He said, where is then the blessedness you spake of? He said, where's all that good talk that you was talking about first time I come? How much you loved me and cared about me and everything. He said, for I bear you record that if it had been possible, you would have plucked out your own eyes and have given them to me. I looked that up. It means exactly what it says. He said, you'd have gorged your eyes out. You'd have cut them out and gave them to me if I'd asked you to. That's how much you love me. But listen, he said, am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? You tell somebody what they really need to hear. They call you, give them good advice. And instead of them saying, I appreciate that, Brother Jeff. I appreciate you telling me what I need to do. I knew you would tell me the truth. I'm going to keep praying for you. Boy, thank you for telling me what God wants you to tell. That ain't what they do. If it ain't what they want to hear, they leave a church. And they tell the next pastor, they say, well, I tell you, something's wrong with Brother Jeff. They do. I'm telling you, I'm not making up a meeting out. They'll do you the same way. Your kids can come to you as long as you're giving them money. They got inheritance. They're in the will. Everything's fine. But if all of a sudden they come to you and say, Daddy, what do you think I should do? Say, well, honey, I wouldn't do that. They go in there and you know what they do? They ask Mama, well, go ask your daddy. I didn't talk to him. I don't want to talk to him no more. Huh? Because you told them the truth. They turn them. They get mad. Let me just say this real quick, and I'm not trying to get every verse. This is the truth from cover to cover. And if you don't line up with it, sometimes it will cut you. Sometimes it's going to crush you. But if you'll take the truth for what it is, it'll heal you. It'll make you something. God will use this to mold us into what we need to be on this side of the grave. Amen. Don't get mad at your Sunday school teacher, preacher, or your best friend. I'd rather have a best friend tell me something that I didn't like, and there's scripture for that, than have a neighbor that's way far off says, oh, they ain't nobody like you. You one of the best dads in the world. Something's wrong with your son and daughter. If I told them something wrong, tell me I told them something wrong. Amen. So I can get it right. Don't butter me up, pat me on the back. That ain't going to help me any. Y'all with me? He said, they zealously affect you, but not well. Yea, they would exclude you that you might affect them. But it's good to be zealously affected always in a good thing, and not only when I am present with you. He's just saying, I'd like to be effective in your life, not just when I'm with you, but when I'm away, I'd like to hear that you're still continuing in the truth. That I was being effective, but as soon as I left and got out of your sight, you just went back doing any old anything you wanted to. And all of us do that. Can I hear an amen right there? We acted a certain way. Mom and Daddy was looking when they left the house. We tried to get into something. We do the same thing as Christians. Every one of us get into things we shouldn't. And God knows. And we've got one of the best fathers there is, which is the Heavenly Father. And you ain't going to get no better in the church because Jesus set up and that's our mother. We're fixing to talk about two mamas and then I'll be done. I'm trying to bring this to a quick close. He said, so my little children of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you, I desire to be present with you now and to change my voice, for I stand in doubt of you. He's pretty much saying, you know, y'all are acting in such a way I'm beginning to have my doubts about you. And I'm just going to be honest with you. There's a lot of people that I've loved, a lot of people I've preached for, people I've sang with, people I've been in meeting with. And things have happened through the years. It's begun to make me doubt whether they was ever saved, whether they was ever called to preach. But I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not their judge. Y'all with me? They're still human. And if they make a mistake, that don't make them unsaved. Be careful how you judge somebody, lest you find yourself in the same circumstance next year and you want mercy from everybody when you're just passing judgment. All right? So he said, tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? Boy, that got me this morning. I read that this morning about three times. Listen, he said, tell me, ye that desire to be under the law, do ye not hear the law? If you want to live by the law, tell me why. If you talk back to mom and dad, Brian, they're key. If you're engaged to a woman, you wind up going off with another woman, they're going to drag you out there, they're going to key. If ox accidentally winds up on your neighbor's house and messes up something and kills another ox, you got to give him four ox. Can't just replace his one ox, you got to give him four ox. It was rough. An eye for an eye, two for two. Y'all know what the law is. Love God with all your heart, soul, and mind. Every one of us has failed on that. There ain't even no need to go to number two. Love your neighbors yourself. Close the book, let's go home. We failed twice already. Does all of us love God with all our heart, soul, and mind, with everything sin, loving all of our neighbors as ourselves? No, because we're human. So we've come short. So why would we want to live by the law when we can't? Get out of the law. Don't hang, let me just say this real quick. Don't hang so much on the Ten Commandments. A lot of people's got them posted in the yard. You know, it's good they're there. Live by them then. You can't. Stick a sign out in the yard that says, thank God for grace. Amen. That'd be better than sticking Ten Commandments in your yard. Amen. You understand what I'm saying? Because the law was there and every one of us has come up short and faltered. If we're trying to live by the law, we'll all be on our way to hell. But then grace come and took care of our faults and failures. So let's get to this real quick and let's wind this up. Verse 22, I'm going to try my best to read through this, make a couple statements and be done. Verse 22, he said, for it is written that Abraham had two sons. Hopefully everybody knows that. Ishmael and Isaac. Ishmael was first. And so he should have been the next in line to be the heir by the flesh. We're going to find out. He said the one by a bondmaid, the other by a free woman. Everybody in here, if you've been saved, was born of the flesh, and you was born of the Spirit. The Spirit is younger than the flesh in every Christian. Even if you tell me, you'll never convince me, but if you say, I got saved when I was 3 years old, then your flesh is 3 years older than your spirit. So your flesh, if you'd have it, was the firstborn always. So how come the inner man's the one that gets the inheritance, not the flesh? He said, but he who was of the bondwoman was born after the flesh, but he of the free woman was by promise. Didn't he promise us that if we come and repent of our sins, he'd save us and prepare a place for us and a home in glory? Didn't he promise us that if he left here, he's going to come back and get us? Thank God for the promise. Which things are an allegory. If you don't know what an allegory is, that means I'm telling you a story that relates to something else, that it goes hand in hand so you can understand this. So then he says, for these are the two covenants. What two covenants? The New Testament and the Old Testament are your two covenants. And we're talking about the bondwoman. Which one you think that is? The Old Testament. Is that right? And the free woman, which one you think that is? The New Testament. And then he said this. He said, the one from Mount Sinai, which genereth the bondage, which is Hagar. That's the Old Testament. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and answereth to Jerusalem, which now is, and is in bondage with her children. But Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all. You can believe this or not, but I'm fixing to throw something out there. It's pretty deep. All y'all keep saying, I wish you'd preach a little deep. I wish you'd give us something we can gnaw on it. I'm fixing to give you something. Jerusalem is not the Jerusalem everybody keeps looking for over in the Middle East. He said Jerusalem is above. Amen. He's talking about heaven. So every time you read about Jerusalem, don't get so caught up in what's going on over in the Middle East. They better get saved too. If you believe you're going to stay here, because I'm going to tell you like my brother-in-law told somebody today, somebody just kept on. He said, buddy, if you believe you're going to stay here, you can have my part. But when Jesus blows the trumpet, I'm out of here. And that's what I believe. I don't want nothing here. I'm sort of desiring to get out of here now. If I didn't have a wife and kids, I'd want to get out of here. I love this church, but we got a better place to go. And so he says that Jerusalem, which is above, is free, which is above us all. For it is written, rejoice, thou barren that beareth not. Break forth and cry, thou that travaileth not. For the desolate have many more children than she which hath a husband. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. You catch that? He didn't say Isaac was the children of promise. He's using Isaac as an allegory to us. He said, we are the children of promise as Isaac was. Yes, he promised Abraham and Isaac that they was going to have Sarah and that he has the promised seed. But he did that, Brother Tony, as a picture of what he was going to do in the New Testament with the church through Jesus Christ. Amen. But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the spirit, even so it is now. How many of you's flesh persecutes your spirit every day? I wish I could kill the flesh and keep on living as a Christian. But you can't do it. The only way we're going to get rid of that persecutor is when we leave here. That's why heaven's going to be so good. You know what a persecutor is, don't you? Somebody that just keeps causing problems. Keeps hanging around. Pointing out what you do wrong. But listen, he said, nevertheless, what saith the scriptures? Cast out the bondwoman and her son. I want to stop right there real quick. All that is a picture of this. He's saying, get the flesh out of your life. Get the fleshly desires out. Get the sin out, because the fleshly desires, the Bible says, if it conceives, it bringeth forth sin in another place. And then it said, and sin, when it's finished, what does it do? It bringeth forth death. Y'all know usually I don't try to go this long. I'm not going to give an invitation. I'm just trying to help you understand something. You need to get the flesh out. Get the world out of our lives. Get the sin out of our lives. He said, cast it out. Get it out. For the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. The flesh is not going to get it's not going to be heir with us. The Bible said flesh and blood shall not inherit the kingdom of heaven. You're either going to heaven or hell, but your flesh is going neither. Y'all with me? And so it ends up here. He said, so then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. You know why I can say that? Is that verse saying that everybody's saved, Brother Mallory? If we're not the children of the bondwoman, but of the free, is it saying that nobody's in bondage and that everybody's free? No. So what is that verse saying? Jesus died for everybody. Whosoever will, let him come. Anybody that wants to be free can be free. If you want to stay in bondage, he's not going to make you come out of sin and bondage in this world, if that's what you desire to have, you'll get it. But with sin and with bondage comes consequences. And I promise you, I've never seen anybody that enjoyed the consequences. There is pleasure in sin for a season. But when the pleasure leaves, there's a lot of destruction. There's a lot of heartache. There's a lot of pain. A lot of times it brings forth death. Whether it's in a, and y'all know what I'm talking about, people that's gotten in drugs and things. The drugs might not kill them, but somebody's coming by to bring the drugs, they'll get in a gun shootout, and all of a sudden the baby dies. You hear about it on the news all the time. Somebody comes by, they're mad at somebody, they've got to argue, fighting two gangs against one another. They shoot up in the mall, and innocent people die. They wasn't even involved. It's because it's done grown. They didn't do nothing about it, and sin is causing hurt and havoc. And I'm going to tell you something, sin's in this world, and it's not going to be gone. It's never going to leave. As long as we're here, we're going to all hurt, and we're going to see people we love make mistakes and go through tough things. And this is tough to say, but I'm going to end on this. And this is not always the case, but a lot of times when we've done things wrong, the Bible says we'll pay for them. We're not paying for our sins, but through punishment, I believe things will happen on this side, because nothing's going to happen in heaven, so it's going to happen on this side. And you know what happens then? If I've done some things wrong in my life, which I have, not proud of, but I have. Since I've been saved, I've made mistakes and I've sinned. I don't know how I'm going to have to, what's going to happen. It's going to cause some things to go through my life for God to show me he wasn't pleased with that, or cut me off, or punish me if you'd have. And you know what's going to happen when that happens? My wife has to go through that. My kids are going to have to go through that. My grandchildren are going to have to go through that. So I'm saying all that to say this. The more we can keep the flesh out of our life and repent of our sins and stay close to the Lord, you know, a lot of people just, like Brother Cook, pastor till he's 95, hardly ever sick, and all of a sudden, 2 weeks, not feeling too good, they put him in the hospital and just easily just leaves on out of here. I believe he loved the Lord. I believe he kept the world out and kept the sin out. And the family was able to be up there at the hospital, and it was a happy time. It was a home going, not crying with him suffering and things. And so, you know, it's different on everybody. I'm not going to try to go on and on about it. I hope you learned something tonight. Hope it's fed you and touched you. Go read that again and just get a picture of that bondwoman. And then you can go over the book of Genesis and you can read about Hagar and Sarah and find out what all went on in this circumstance. I'm not going to get into that tonight. It'd be way too long. But it's a good picture and a story of when we don't do what God tells us to do and we're listening to other people and do it, they tell us to do it, turns into a mess. And that's what usually happens when we listen to the flesh. I appreciate you for being here tonight. I hope everybody gets feeling better. Invite somebody to come be with you in Sunday school, and let's pray for all these prayer requests. Just turn to somebody beside you, tell them you love them. See yourselves at liberty to go.